Lucky. Glory. You love the Lord tonight? Well, part of us do. Praise God. God's a good God. In Him we live and move and have our being. Outside of Him, chaos. There's nothing. He fills all things. Amen. I want to preach tonight, if I may, if I can, a little while on the Holy Ghost. I guess we're still Pentecost around here. I don't believe that there's enough preaching on the Holy Ghost. We got too many second generation Pentecosts. How many knows what I'm talking about? Raised Pentecost but never experienced it. Hallelujah. We need to experience the Holy Ghost. We need Him to flow in our life like a river. We need Him to spring it up from inside like an artesian well. Hallelujah. The Bible said, he that believeth on Him, meaning Christ, as the Bible has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers, plural, more than one river, of living water. Hallelujah. I don't even know where to start, hardly. I guess I'll start with Joel. That's about as good a place as any. The Holy Ghost is promised many, 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 many years before the day of Pentecost. But it was just as real in the life of the Pentecostal people of Jesus' day, or of the Apostles' day, I guess I should say, as it is today, maybe more so real. Joel said in Joel 2:38, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Are you flesh tonight or are you spirit? If you're flesh tonight and have been born again, you're a candidate for the Holy Ghost. Someone said, well, the Holy Ghost won't, it's not for everybody. And that's exactly right. It's not for everybody, just for the believers. Hallelujah. If you're not a believer, you don't expect the Holy Ghost to fall on you or to fill you or to move in your life. You might well not, because He won't do it. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Talking about the young people now. How come you're not prophesying tonight? Maybe it's because the older people's not prophesying. Brother Matthew, I forgot the salt. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Huh? That's why I know I'm not old yet. I'm still seeing visions. The Bible said without the vision, the people perish. Hallelujah. I can see in the spiritual realm people running these aisles and being blessed and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm not just dreaming about it. I've got a vision that God's going to move. I don't know about the rest of you. I have no idea what's been going on in the last week or two, but I've been praying and seeking God for this upcoming revival. I'm expecting God to do something, Brother Cantor. I'm expecting these young people, hallelujah, to be filled with His power and glory and praise. You need it. It's for you. You might as well have it. People know you're coming here anyhow, so you might well enjoy it. And also upon my servants, and upon my handmaids in those days, will I pour out my spirit. The promise, praise God. Joel promised it long time before it come to pass, but he promised it. Luke 24 and 9. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Tarry until. Hallelujah. Not too many years ago, months ago, whatever, we were in some prayer meetings around here, and I made up my mind I was going to have God's best. And I went to the basement every day and prayed and sought the face of God. One day I was praying. I said, God, how long until I feel something break loose? How long? How long do I have to seek him? He turned me over to a scripture in Old Testament times that tarry until he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Hallelujah. How long do you have to tarry to receive the Holy Ghost? I've seen the people receive the Holy Ghost in a flash, in a second. And I prayed for some people who left for midnight to receive the Holy Ghost before they ever got it. Hallelujah. But what difference does it make if it takes you a minute or 5 minutes or 2 hours or 3 days? It's worth it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 1 and 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I got to thinking, that's the trouble with me sometimes. I think when I maybe I shouldn't, but I get to thinking the other day. What's the purpose of the Holy Ghost? What's the purpose of it? Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, I've studied the life of the apostles, and I study people today. I still study them. And I found out something along the line. You don't witness with your mouth. You witness with your life. It's not what you say that carries very much weight. It's what you do. Hallelujah. We are witnesses of Christ because we live a holy, dedicated, separated, cleansed life. Hallelujah. The world don't look at you, because you talk in tongues. They look at you because you live a holy life. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is more than just to talk in tongues. Now don't get me wrong. Hallelujah. I believe in talking in tongues. I don't believe you can get the Holy Ghost without it. Somebody said, if I didn't have to have the tongues, I might want it. Well, let me tell you something. You can get shoes without tongues. You know what they are? That's right, loafers. You just slip them on and slip them off. That's the way a lot of people do their Holy Ghost. they slip it on to get the church. And when they leave the house of God, they slip it off again. That ought not to be so. You need strength. You need to be tied to this thing. You need it, praise God. Your life, praise God, needs to be tied to the Lord. Hallelujah. Not where you can wishy-washy here and wishy-washy there, but steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the love of the Lord and the faith of the Lord and the power of God and the praise of God. Once you get the power in your life, there's 9 spiritual gifts. Hallelujah. I don't know why there's 9. I don't know. We very seldom exercise over 2 in this place. But it's not God's fault. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have tongues and interpretation, and that's about the limit of it. What happened to the miracles? What happened to the healings? What happened to the word of wisdom? What happened to the word of knowledge? What happened to discerning of spirits? These things are necessary. They are essential for a Pentecostal church to have them in operation in every local assembly. But we don't have them. You know why we don't have them? Because we don't seek them. The Bible says, seek for the best gifts are the gifts that will edify the body of Christ. It says, greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues, except to interpret, that the body, the people may receive edifying. That's what it's for. Hallelujah. But we say, bless God, that's somebody else's job to do that. It ain't mine. Well, maybe it is, maybe it ain't. How do you know what God wants you to be? How do you know how God wants to use you? You get full enough of God and you'll be surprised what he can do with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know this is not, may not be popular preaching, but I feel it tonight. And I believe it's good for us. I believe it's good for us to wake up to the fact that we are Pentecost in deed and not in name. Pentecost, hallelujah. Well, you said that they're crazy. Well, maybe so. Don't wake me up. I'm enjoying it. We'll see who's crazy when the end comes. It'll be them, praise God, that are not ashamed of the power of God, that is not afraid to move out in the realm of the Spirit of God. Some people are afraid of the Holy Ghost. Always have been. Always will be. Brother Anderson, Brother Kenny, I don't know if you can remember it or not. You're not quite as old as I am. But I remember a time whenever they were scared to death to get close to the front seat, afraid somebody going to throw powder on them. They'd act crazy. Some of you know what I'm talking about. This old boy lived on a farm. He rode a mule to town one Saturday. And he had to go down a lane a pretty good way in the fields on each side, and that man had hay cut on one side of the field. Well, he went to town and stayed longer than he should have stayed. Come back, the moon was shining, and the man had built a huge haystack right beside the road, Brother Cantor. That mule got about 20 yards of it, and he balked. And he wouldn't go no further. That old man done everything he could to get that mule to go by there, and he couldn't go no. Finally looked at him and said, mule, how silly can you be? Scared to death of something that you ought to be full of. Scared to death of something you shouldn't be full of. That's what we are today. We got people afraid to seek God for the Holy Ghost, afraid to make a fool out of themselves. I want to tell you something. If you fool around in this life for another 20 or 30 or 40 years and don't get the Holy Ghost, you're going to find out who's a fool. It's available for you. It's available for everyone, praise God, that's been born again. Hallelujah. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts 2 and 4, 2 and 2, 2 and 1, rather, They were all with one accord in one place. Now, when we get to that place, we can see God begin to move and begin to work. One accord in one place. Hallelujah. But if you got people sitting here, one in China, and one in Alabama, and one in Philadelphia, you know what I'm talking about? Their minds cluttered up with everything in this world, and not on the things of God. You're not going to see a flowing of God's power and moving. But when everyone gets in the same mind and in the same accord, that's why we need a moving of God's Spirit. That's why we need a revival right now. To get people in one mind and one accord where God can flow. There's no secret to what God can do. Hallelujah. It's meeting the condition for God to move in that realm. He'll do what he has said he would do if we'll do what he wants us to do. And suddenly, nobody likes to do anything suddenly. We're going to talk it over a little bit now, Brother Adam, before we make a move. Now, we could be wrong. And if you do that, you'll never do it. When the Spirit of God moves, he moves suddenly. Always has and always will. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. You mean to tell me that you can get the Holy Ghost sitting in a seat? Yes, you can. It's not the position of the body, it's the position of your spirit. Hallelujah. I heard of a man fell in a well, and hallelujah, started praying before he hit the bottom, and he got the Holy Ghost. Well, you don't have to fall in a well to get the Holy Ghost, but you do have to give yourself completely to God. And that'd be a good time to do it, I suppose. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. How long has it been since you felt the fire? How long has it been since God got a hold of you and you couldn't sit still anymore? How long has it been since somebody started singing a song, even a special, and you couldn't stay in your seat any longer and had to jump out up and praise God? Huh? I'm talking a lot of talking tonight, and I'm saying a lot of things that I don't usually say, and you know it. There's a man in England, long, long time ago, and decided to come to the United States. Didn't have no money. But he saved up his money, Brother Tanner, and he got enough money to buy a ticket. And he got on board that ship and headed for the United States. Didn't never get out of his cabin until the last day. And he hunted up the captain. He said, "Captain, I want to ask you something." He said, "What?" "How much would it cost me to eat in the dining hall tonight?" He said, "When I left England, I just had a bunch of crackers, and I just eat one a day or a few a day until it make them reach till I got to the United States." He said, "What do you mean? Don't you know that when you bought your ticket, the price of everything was included?" You don't have to eat a cracker a day. You can eat chitolomokahaya. You can eat the good things of God in every service. I have maintained this. It's silly to come to church and don't meet with God. That's the silliest thing there is. There's no reason why you can't meet with God in every service. Well, we don't like to do that, Brother Adam. We like it pat and dried. Well, you can have it that way if you want to, cut and dry, but Brother, I want something that's alive. I want power. I want glory. I want praise. I want it to well out of my innermost being and flow like a river. What do you want, a cracker a day, or do you want to eat out of the good things of God? It's up to you. There's a lot more preaching here. I ain't going to read all that Peter began to preach. He preached a long message and a good message. Hallelujah. I'm going to drop over to about the 12th verse. And they were all amazed. That's the rest of them people around there. When the Holy Ghost began to fall on 120 people, everybody else was amazed because they had heard them speak in all of their languages where they were born. And they 14 or 16 languages. I don't remember how many now. It's like if the Holy Ghost broke out in the United Nations and everybody in the world could hear him speaking, some of them in German, some in French, some in Italian, some in Russian and all that stuff. That's the same thing that happened, Brother Cantor. He wasn't speaking with an unknown tongue. They were speaking in other tongues. Tongues that they didn't know. Now, when you pray in tongues or speak in tongues, I don't know what it is. It could be other tongues or it could be an unknown tongue, and it may be the tongues of angels. Hallelujah. But you may not know what you're saying, but there's somebody inside of you that knows. Hallelujah. I might not be able to understand you. Hallelujah. But there's somebody inside of me that can be rejoicing while you're doing it. Praise God. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these men aren't drunken as you suppose, are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Peter didn't say they wasn't drunk. He said, you're not drunk like you think they are. Hallelujah. We had to put a few young people in the back of station wagons and take them home from this place here. Passed out in the spirit. Out there in California, many, many, many times, we'd load the back end of that station wagon full of them, three or four of them. Take them out, praise God, talking in tongues, glorifying the living God. Hallelujah. If young people could do it then, if they could do it, what, a few, 6, 8, 10 years ago, whenever we had such a move of the Spirit of God among our young people, nothing wrong with these young people can do the same thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I'm trying to do tonight. I'm trying to make people hungry. Hallelujah. When you get hungry, you get filled. Hallelujah. I ain't never seen a man that's real hungry but what he got filled. I was preaching a revival one time in Bourbon. And I mean, night after night, the power of God was flowing. People being saved. He was filled with the Holy Ghost all over the place. We had a young man in our church. Well, he wasn't real young. He was a high school teacher. Been saved and sick in the Holy Ghost for 14 years. And we had another woman in that church. This hadn't been saved too many years, but she was sick in the Holy Ghost and she was getting hungry for the Holy Ghost. Looked over there one night and there that young man laid out in the middle of the floor. All the way to the end of the altar, had his hands out in front of him like that, talking in a heavenly language. You'd think that woman would rejoice. She got mad. Jumped up and run outside and sat down on the porch of the church and cried of stunt. How come he can get it and I can't? My wife went out and talked to her, kind of consoled her. She finally come back in, prayed a while, didn't get no more. But she was hungry, hungry for God. The very next night, Brother Cantor, I mean, I just give the altar call, and she run down to the altar and throw her hands up and begin talking tongues. Hallelujah. Just like that. Hallelujah. I've seen people all over the world, everywhere I've ever been. received the Holy Ghost just like that many times. And sometimes, like I said, I've had to pray for till midnight to get them filled. But God is still God, and He's still filling with the Holy Ghost. He's still flowing in people's lives. He's still making new souls out of old heels, if you say amen. I knew a guy that was a missionary in Colombia, and they can't praise God like we can here openly. So they had church in a shoe repair shop. And they had church. I ain't that kind of illegal or offhanded or something in a shoe shop. You ain't got nothing on the outside except shoes being sold. Well, he said, it may be a little bit illegal, but he said, actually what it is, we're trying to make new souls out of a bunch of old heels. And I don't see nothing wrong with that. And all the way down to verse number 39 says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Not just for a few. It's for everybody. Everybody that's saved, that is. That's the only requirement of being filled, is to be saved first. I know there's people that teach you don't get saved till you get filled, or you get it all at the same time. But brother, it don't happen that way, and I can prove it to you. Whom ye shall, Ephesians 1 and 13, in whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, to whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After ye believed. Not before you believed or when you believed, but after you believed. Which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of glory, of His glory. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power should be of Him and not of us. What earthen vessel are you talking about? This old body of clay. Hallelujah. We have within it the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Divine power in this, that, praise God, we don't operate it. It operates itself. Hallelujah. I don't care if I pray for 1,000 people and 990 of them are healed. I don't heal one of them. I don't care if I lay hands on 12 people and 9 of them get the Holy Ghost. I don't give it to anybody. Whew, glory. Hallelujah. Acts 19 and 2. Hallelujah. I've got this painted on my on my paper, Acts 19 and 2. I can quote it if you want me to, but I would rather read it. Somebody stole the 19th verse chapter out of my book of Acts. Ah, there it is. I'm going to begin. I'll just read verse 1 also. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. and finding some disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? They said unto him, John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. On my card that I've got telephone number on, I've got Acts 19:2. And that's what I'm going to read. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Hallelujah. And I think that's a good question. They said unto them, we hadn't even heard that there be any Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know what? You don't have to be a foreigner not to believe in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All you have to do is be a Christian, and the Holy Ghost will take care of itself if you'll allow him to. In him we live and move and have our being. Christ is the head of all principalities and powers. Hallelujah. For God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Hallelujah. In him, all things are possible to them that believe. I hope I have stirred you up enough tonight to make you want to begin to seek God for the Holy Ghost. You say, how do you receive the Holy Ghost? Well, I see the Holy Ghost at the altar seeking God. I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, and I'm not against that, Brother Cantor. Out in California, and I was a young people's leader one time. You know, I used to be young. That's the truth. And we had a bunch of young people not like you are here, except they were on fire for God. Hallelujah. You say, ain't these? Well, not as much as these were, because these talked in tongues all the time. We had a bus, we'd put them on and go from one church to another for young people's services. Somebody would come up with a guitar or a tambourine or maybe both, going right down through one of the outside towns in L.A., start beating on that guitar or a tambourine, and they'd start singing and shouting, and they'd shout up and down the bus while we were on the way down there. When we got to church, the kids didn't run around outside and play tag. They run in and found an altar and begin to pray and seek the face of God. The young leader of that church had a young girl there in her early teens that was raised Catholic, and she had just gotten, no, she hadn't even got saved yet. She just started coming there a couple of times. And our young people come in, they fell on the altar, and she asked her, how come them kids are down at the altar praying? She said, well, because they're saved. She said, could I get saved? Well, sure, and here she come with her. Come down there and prayed her through.
Hallelujah.
About that time, our kids start talking in tongues. She said, what are they doing now? Said, they're talking in tongues. That's the Holy Ghost. They've got the Holy Ghost. She said, could I get the Holy Ghost? And I was leading service. By that time, we already had church, already started. She said, sure. And I looked, and here she come. She come up there and said, Brother Adams, this girl just got saved. She wants to get the Holy Ghost. Well, I said, lay your hands on her. She laid her hands on her. I laid her shoulder and touched her. I said, God, fill her. Boom. Talked in tongues. Begin to talk in tongues as the Spirit of God give her the
rest.
We got a little red-headed girl comes here a lot. And first time she came here, she reminded me so much of a Nazarene girl that's in one of our third revival. She was a little Nazarene girl. She came in there one night, and she was standing in the back of the building. And before I ever started preaching, I stood up, like I do a lot of times here, and I say, everybody just raise your hand to begin to praise God. And they raised their hand and began to praise God, and she began to run the aisles and talk in tongues. A Nazarene, can you believe a Nazarene talking in tongues? The only bad thing about it, her parents found about it and wouldn't let her come back to church. Had to send her back to the Nazarene church. Years and years and years later, down that same part of the country, the same old boy I was preaching with for pastoring a different church for that time. And he introduced me to a young man that's a preacher. He said, you know what this guy? I said, no, I never saw him before. He said, do you remember that little Nazarene girl back up there that got the Holy Ghost that night before you ever started preaching? I said, yeah. He said, that's his aunt. Somewhere along the line, that Holy Ghost couldn't stand still.
Hallelujah.
Somewhere along the line, he began to show himself forth as the power and the glory and the praise that he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is something, you know, a lot of preachers preach the Holy Ghost like it's spinach, something you need. I preach it like ice cream, something that you like.
Hallelujah.
A lot of difference there, brother. You not only need it, it's good for you. And it is good, period. It's just good to be filled with His Spirit and His power. It's something, praise God, that makes an old man feel young. A sick man feel well. Oh, praise God. I love the Lord tonight, and I appreciate the goodness of God. I hope that I've said something that will stir you a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. To wake you up to the fact that this thing is real. This thing is not something I hatched up in my head. This thing is as real. It's more real than the life that you're now living. It's more real than this earth, because this earth is going to perish one of these days, but this will never perish. It'll be here forever. Hallelujah. You can be sealed with the Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can seal a lot of things today and they don't stay sealed very much. But you can be sealed with the Holy Ghost and you'll stay sealed if you'll allow Him to. He'll not wander off somewhere. He'll be right there. Hallelujah. Shouting the victory if you'll allow Him to. Hallelujah.